The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Centenarians Day, Tony, where we celebrate people who are 100 years old.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Shout out to Yubi Brown.
Hey, come on now. Yubi's got like 13 years and change left before he gets to 100.
Yubi is remarkable.
He's great.
And the fact that he loves when we talk about his age and exaggerate his age makes me very happy, as you know.
I worry about that, and I see him, and I'm scared to walk up to him at a game because I think Yubi could knock me out at 87. And he's like, keep doing it. I love it. We love you.
Loves it. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, NFL coaches get big fines for mask violations. Bubba Wallace joins Michael Jordan, and Bryson DeChambeau wants to crush it even farther at the Masters. But we begin today with the Raiders beating the Saints. Derek Carr was the best quarterback on the field, ahead of Drew Brees. Carr guided the Raiders to 34 points in the last three quarters. The Raiders are now 2-0, and they've scored 68 points. The Saints are 1-1 and are not as proficient passing the ball as we have come to expect. So, Wilbon, which is the bigger headline, the Raiders winning or Brees and the Saints struggling?
Well, I don't pay any attention to Brees and the Saints struggling after 2 weeks. I'm not going to be on that level of overreaction. So I'll take the Raiders. They opened up their new home last night. I know not even their owner was there because he said, if the fans can't come, I don't feel right coming. There's a certain nobility to that to me. Al Davis's widow was there. I mean, I found that sort of historic presence important, and that was the story for me. And then the Raiders played well, Tony. And I picked the Saints in my confidence pool to win that game. But good for the Raiders that they started off this way, fans or not, in their new building. They look competent and even maybe a little better than that. So good for them.
Good for you, by the way, to go on this show yesterday and pick the Raiders and to go in a confidence pool and pick the Saints.
I'd already picked the Saints.
That shows a level of commitment that I really admire.
That's good.
Flip-flopping quite like that. Let me get to Drew Brees for a second because he's 41 years old and not everybody is Tom Brady. And people are already talking about his age for a couple of reasons. The last 2 years, he was completing passes at 74%, which is spectacular beyond words. Now he's down to 64%, so people talk. Apparently, he is throwing the ball only 4.8 yards in the air per pass. The last guy to have such a low number was Brett Favre, but not with the Packers. Brett Favre in 2009, when he was sort of at the end. Michael Thomas did not play last night, which really hurts Brees.
That's huge.
It is a big deal, but still, again, not everyone is Tom Brady. To your other point, the NFL is better and more interesting when the Raiders are good.
Yeah.
And they haven't been good in a long time. Since 2002, they've only had one winning season, only made the playoffs one time. So because of Al Davis and because of the teams they built, that's an iconic franchise, even if it's in Las Vegas. It is good when they're good.
The Raiders are good. We both agree on that. We also should just declare, a lot of people in pro football, the industry did not like Al Davis. Many hated Al Davis.
We did.
You and I loved him. We had relationships with him, and I inherited mine because of you. Thank you.
Yep.
But Al Davis was one of the most fascinating figures ever in the National Football League. So we like to see the Raiders be good.
We've known
for a couple of weeks that Bubba Wallace was leaving Richard Petty Motorsports. Now we know where he's going. Wallace is joining a new team, majority owned by Michael Jordan. Jordan says he's been a big NASCAR fan since he was a kid, growing up in North Carolina, when his family would attend races. Tony, what does this news mean for Bubba, for MJ, and for NASCAR?
So I had no idea Michael Jordan was a NASCAR guy.
Yeah.
I thought the UNC basketball player who was a NASCAR guy was Brad Doherty.
He is.
I didn't know about Jordan.
Both.
I think this is wonderful if Jordan wants to get involved. I don't know how you make money in NASCAR, but if there's a way to make money, maybe he's going to make money. And I think black ownership in sports on all levels is good. But as you know, Mike, I was upset and chagrined when Bubba Wallace left Richard Petty. I thought that moment culturally, when Richard Petty embraced Bubba Wallace and said, we can't have this Confederate flag stuff anymore. We got to go forward. I thought that was a snapshot of the best of us. Now, I don't begrudge Bubba Wallace for leaving. That's business. But Richard Petty, to me, represents the old South. And the fact that he was willing to change, the fact that he's turned his back on inequity, to me, was a big deal symbolically.
Well, a bigger deal symbolically is getting the hell out the old South, getting away from it for people, a lot of people who look like me and who's, by the way, I can say this with some comfort and confidence because my parents were from the old South, Tennessee and Georgia. And what's of greater cultural importance to me is Michael Jeffrey Jordan buying into this. Michael Jordan, who basically a lot of people, white and black, wanted to rip into for decades. He's not doing enough. What is he doing about this? What is he doing about that? Where is he putting his money? Michael Jordan now, for a string of projects over the months, has put his money and his mouth behind things, including now black ownership in sports. Tony, the first black principal owner of a full-time cup team, was the last one was in 1973, Wendell Scott, who was driving himself, okay? 1973. We're talking almost a half century here. So the fact that Michael Jordan has seen fit to this, Tony, and I did communicate with him last night. And you know what? At first of all, I just sent a text that said, you know, congratulations. And I stopped later. I sent a text that said, thank you. Thank you for doing this. This is huge. Not just, and by the way, Denny Hamlin's not some scrub. Denny Hamlin has been racing and winning for Joe Gibbs, and now he can sort of get around, you know, racing and owning because Michael Jordan's the principal owner. This is an enormous moment, much bigger than, and thank God for Richard Petty putting his arm around him, but this is so much bigger that Michael Jordan now owns his team and Bubba Wallace is racing for him.
I would say that I expect the car to be the number 23 car. I expect the Jumpman logo to be all over it.
I hope so.
And I expect Jordan to try and make some money by selling apparel like hats to everybody who goes to these events. We move now to Bryson DeChambeau and his recent comments to the Golf Channel. He intends to add even more muscle weight, saying, quote, I think I can get to 245 pounds, unquote. He's at 230 now. It's huge for a golfer. And he says he is doing this with specifically Augusta and the November Masters in mind. DeChambeau said, and again, I quote, length is going to be a big advantage there, unquote. He's talking about hitting driver 360 and 370 yards. Wilbon, are you optimistic about his chances?
Not particularly. I'm not pessimistic about his chances. I'm going to sit back and watch. I don't need to declare anything about Mr. DeChambeau. He has fascinated us by winning the United States Open. Now I'm fascinated to see where he goes from here. But, you know, to quote the great philosopher Mike Tyson, and I am not being sarcastic now, everybody's got a plan until when, Tony? Till they get punched in the mouth. And every sport, you can get punched in the mouth. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know what it is.
That's right.
I maybe they'll start making courses shorter. And so it just won't be the advantage. He's right. DeChambeau is right historically about all this stuff. Every week, every time he brings up a point, he seems to be right. But, you know, optimistic? No, let's just watch. We don't need to declare anything after one major.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I think about is the course at Augusta, which has no particular defense for length because they don't have any rough there.
Right.
Their defense is always the greens, but DeChambeau putted so well at Wingfoot that you think to yourself, maybe he could replicate that at Augusta. It seems possible to me that because he drives it over trees, just over all the trees, that he could find a path to a hole on an adjacent fairway and on a par five, maybe be going driver wedge or something like that. He is fascinating at the moment. 360, 370, that's a really big deal. I just want to say this, Mike, and you'll remember this. When Lou Alcindor declared to go to UCLA, they changed the rule. They said you can't dunk anymore
right,
in college
no
basketball, and that was aimed at him.
That's right.
Now, that helped him in the pros because he developed the sky hook, and I understand that. But there may come a point if DeChambeau starts winning, and he hasn't. He's 1-1. If he starts winning, people may say, we're going to have to restrict the length.
Then you know what? Then restrict it. Make the courses shorter, like I just said. I mean, you know, Tony, there's a reason that nobody conquers sports. I mean, you have your GOATs in each sport, and they seem to have conquered it, whether you're talking about Ruth or Jordan or Gretzky or who, whatever, Tiger or Jack, whatever it is. But you know what? They keep going on, and people keep coming behind them, and they don't conquer it. The sport doesn't go away. It doesn't become so belittled that it's irrelevant. So let's just see with DeChambeau before we just, you know, make him the king of the world.
Exactly. Let's take a break. Coming up, Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz have both been struggling this season. Which one is more likely to bounce back?
And will the Nuggets finally break through against the Lakers tonight? Toss-up is next. I won't spoil
you
it.
You could restrict the flight of the ball, and then instead of only getting 180, I could get 120.
Yeah,
off the
but
team.
I don't want to. You want to have a different ball? Are you down with that?
No, I'm too old to restrict the ball.
I don't mean for us. I mean for them.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Time for toss-up, where I play the role of Bryson DeChambeau, and Wilbon plays the role of a golf ball that's going 370. What's first?
Toss up, they play tonight. Who you got, the Lakers or the Nuggets?
I'm gonna be quick on this. I got the Lakers. The Lakers beat Denver long, and they beat Denver short. There's no other ways to win. I have no idea why Denver is going to win this, especially since the seas have parted for LeBron. There's no Giannis, there's no Kawhi. He can see the championship path.
Yeah, Tony, I thought, as you know, that Denver's best chance to make this a real series was to win game two. And they had it. I mean, they had it in their hands as much as Boston had game three in their hands against Toronto. And then, you know, you lose with this shot. And so I don't want to hear, oh, you're underestimating Denver. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I love watching Denver. I wish they'd won that game so at least it'd be a longer series with more tension. It's not going to be that. The Lakers, I think, will now, I'm not going to say cruise. I think these games can be close. I think they can win close games. But I'm not looking forward to the next round yet, Tony. This round. That's what LeBron does. He's not looking toward anything else but winning this round because he has total respect for Jokic and Murray and Malone, the coach. But the Lakers win tonight.
Play Murray 48 minutes, see what happens. Next.
Toss-up, which 0-2 quarterback is more likely to bounce back, Kirk Cousins or Carson Wentz?
Cousins is at home versus the Titans. Titans were a really good team, coached by a defensive guy, Mike Vrabel. Here's Cousins last week, Mike. 11-26, 113 yards and 3 picks. You get $40 million a year for that? Wentz is at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that is a greater opportunity for a bounce-back game. And I also think that the NFC East is easier to negotiate than the NFC Central. I do.
God, the NFC East is so bad, Tony. But, I mean, let's go to this. Look, it's an opportunity against Cincinnati to be embarrassed by Joe Burrow. I mean, starting the first quarter of the first week, since they were playing the Washington football team, and you and I pay a little more attention to that still, I said to you, Carson Wentz, what are we talking about here? What supports the love that Carson Wentz gets, even in the business? You know, former players who just love Carson Wentz. So I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins because I've seen him play really well some last year, the year before. He has regularly played and regularly bounced back. Carson Wentz, not so much.
Okay, that seems reasonable. Next.
Last one, toss up, whose seat is hotter, Adam Gase or Matt Patricia?
Well, they're both 0-2 at the moment. They both lost to similar quality teams. The Lions lost to the Bears and the Packers. The Jets lost to the Bills and the 49ers. That's a wash. Patricia is 9-24-1. So it looks to me, Mike, that he's going back to New England. Gase is now failing at his second team. But the Jets gave Todd Bowles 4 years and Rex Ryan 6 years. I would rather add Dan Quinn, because as we mentioned the other day, Dan Quinn, defensive Dan, this is his team. 970 yards allowed in two games and 78 points. And I might add your boy Vic Fangio as well.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Vic Fangio might top my list, because I'm not sure that Gase is going to be fired. And, Tony, the fact is, the history of the Detroit Lions, yes, they have fired a couple of guys after a couple of years. And Patricia's in that territory.
But not usually.
By the way, they
not
should just
usually.
Say, can Jim Caldwell, wherever you are, just pick up the courtesy phone, because we never should have fired you in the first place. But Detroit is the club of Wayne Fonts, where you get some chances and maybe you can go 9-7 to hold on to your job even with an 8-8 or a 7-9. So I don't think either one of those two guys is on a seat that's particularly hot.
That's it. Let's take one last break, but still to come, did the NFL go too far in its fines for coaches for not wearing masks?
And you won't believe some of the names Deion Sanders is reportedly adding to his coaching staff at Jackson State.
But if Patricia only wins 5 or 6 this year, he's not going to get another year in Detroit, is he? Really?
Tony, the Lions.
And Gase?
Tell me how many Super Bowls the Lions have been to ever.
0 would be the correct answer.
Right. Last appearance in the championship game, 1955.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Happy time, people. Happy 93rd birthday, Tommy Lasorda. In the long and storied history of the Dodgers, in Brooklyn and in Los Angeles, two managers stand out, Walter Alston and Tommy Lasorda. These two men managed the Dodgers for 42 consecutive years. Both are in the Hall of Fame. Alston managed Robinson and Campanella and Koufax and Drysdale. And for 2 years in Brooklyn, he managed a young pitcher, Tommy Lasorda. Lasorda took over for Alston in 1976. Lasorda's Dodgers won the World Series in 1981 and 1988. The 81 team had Fernando Valenzuela and the beloved infield of Garvey, Say, Russell, and Lopes. The 88 team had that legendary Kirk Gibson home run. Lasorda's career record was 1,599 and 1,439. Lasorda also managed the 2000 United States Olympic baseball team and managed them to the gold medal in Sydney. He is considered one of the great spokesmen for baseball and the Dodgers. He's fiercely loyal and often says, cut me and I will bleed Dodger blue.
Tony, September 24, 2000, in Sydney, as you mentioned, the night, that same night that Rulon Gardner beat Alexander Carroll and handed him his first loss in his life in heavyweight wrestling. Lasorda was managing a U.S. baseball team that just crushed Australia in Sydney. I think it was 12-1. And then Lasorda wanted to go over and see Rulon Gardner, either the end of the match or the post-match. I don't remember that part, but it was just wonderful that Lasorda had so much interest in everything going on at the Village that he wanted to know and he wanted to say hello to Rulon Gardner and congratulate him. We all walked over. It was just great.
Happy anniversary, Alfonso Soriano. On this day 14 years ago, Soriano became baseball's first 40-40-40 player. While playing for the Washington Nationals, Soriano collected his 40th double to go with 41 steals and 45 home runs. To be fair, the doubles are sort of an add-on. The standard 40-40 designation is for home runs and stolen bases. Only four people have ever accomplished it: Soriano, Jose Canseco, Alex Rodriguez, and Barry Bonds. These were great stars and put up Hall of Fame numbers, three of them. Soriano did not. Three were MVPs. Soriano was not. And three are under the dark cloud of steroids, and Soriano is not. Only Soriano and Bonds came close to repeating 40-40. Soriano once went 39-41. Bonds once went 40-37. In all, Soriano played 16 seasons for four different teams, finished with 412 homers, 289 stolen bases, and a .270 batting average. I loved him the 1 year he was on the Nats. When he left for the Cubs, I lost interest.
Yeah, well, I didn't lose interest. I started paying more attention. He was there for 6+ years. Tony, Soriano's one of those guys, and this happens in every sport, who can put up unbelievable numbers, and sometimes over a long period of time, like 412 home runs, but they don't have impact on the game. They don't have impact for his team in that season. And that's kind of what happened. He was like a .213 postseason hitter. And I don't want to try to diminish him because he was a great player, but let's not just paint by the numbers.
Happy trails to $100,000 for Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, and Vic Fangio. All three head coaches were fined $100 for not wearing their face masks in the approved manner during Sunday's games. Additionally, their teams were fined $250,000 each. That's over $1 million of fines. That's big money. Carroll and Shanahan can afford it. They have great contracts. But Fangio could be out on the street by November if the Broncos keep losing and he keeps mismanaging the clock. The NFL rule is simple. Coaches have to cover their noses and mouths at all times during games. The league has done a great job so far at keeping the coronavirus away. Clearly, it doesn't want to send a message that it is not serious about wearing protective masks. More fines could be coming. During the Monday night game, John Gruden wore his mask like a chin strap. Sean Payton wore his like a turtleneck. Gruden, who has had the virus, said, quote, "I'm calling plays. I just want to communicate in these situations. But I'm really sensitive about the situation, and I apologize," unquote.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, you can see people, like, I've been on a few planes recently, and you get ready to take your mask off when you're going to talk to somebody, including the flight attendant, and you shouldn't. The mask is just there for that when things can be emanating over the nose, over the mouth, coaches. I mean, it's not that hard, and you got to leave it there. And if you can understand me in TV land, coaches can be understood by their players.
Let us go to the big finish. Jackson State head coach Deion Sanders is reportedly adding Warren Sapp as his defensive line coach and T.O. as his receivers coach. Does that make sense?
I mean, who has greater credentials than those guys? They both can communicate. And how would those recruits, how would those players feel coming in knowing they were going to be coached by those Hall of Famers? Notre Dame's game against Wake Forest this weekend canceled because 7 Notre Dame players tested positive. Your thoughts, Tom?
I think this is going to happen on a college campus. I find it remarkable that it hasn't happened in the NFL so far because of the contact, but it's going to happen. You got to live with that. The Mountain West hopes to start football by October 24th. You okay with that?
Good for them, Tony. I'm sure their kids want to play just as much as SEC kids and Big Ten kids and kids everywhere, so good for them. The A's clinched the AL West. You impressed?
Very much so. They have no payroll at all. They beat the Astros. I'm happy for them and the White Sox and the Padres and the Reds. The Reds may get in. That's amazing. Last one, the Lightning. Even things up with the Stars. Who's got the edge now?
Nobody. It's 1-1. There's no home ice. I mean, there's no advantage. There's some great home ice advantages in people's buildings in the NHL. Not now.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Those guys can recruit for Deion.
Oh.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
That's going to help.